This is KVNF Regional News for Wednesday, July 16th. I'm Patricia Naft. Wild horses have been in Colorado for hundreds of years, and they can thrive here. They do so well that the government has to keep an eye on their populations. This year is something of a success story in that regard. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The Bureau of Land Management will not be having a roundup of Colorado wild horses this year. This is Stephen Hall with the BLM.
So here in Colorado, we have four designated herd management areas, and they're all pretty close to the upper end of the populations that we can manage horses and other natural resources to maintain a balance.
Hall says part of the reason they won't have to do it this year is because of the success of other programs they have to keep the population in check, programs like birth control.
Yeah, under the Wild Horse and Burro Act, which was an act passed by Congress in the 70s, the Bureau of Land Management tries to manage wild horses in as natural a state as possible. So, yeah, we can't just put the birth control in the feed. Usually what we do is some form of darting, and this can be done remotely or it can be done when the horses are gathered and put in a corral. And it's typically a dose that maintains or prevents pregnancy for the mare for 1 to 2 years. So it's something that we have to update. It's not a one-time fix, but it is another way to keep these horse populations manageable.
They have these programs because the number of wild horses in Colorado could explode. Hall says the wild horse populations can double every 4 years. With growth booms like that, it can quickly lead to mass starvation for the herd and for other animals.
Horses do really, really well. And for those folks, and I know in the North Fork Valley and in your guys' listening area, there are a lot of folks who understand ranching and livestock. And you can imagine what horses can do on the range in terms of population growth and also just being the dominant eaters of the forage. They will displace most other wildlife in their respective areas. And because there are so few natural predators for horses, that's why we see such a strong population growth for these animals. They're not native to Colorado. They're not native to North America. So the ecosystem has not adapted.
Hall notes that they will have to do a roundup in Colorado eventually. He also credits the program's success to local community groups.
Eventually, Colorado will be looking at some of the same population challenges that they're seeing in Nevada and Wyoming. So we haven't found the magic solution. What has worked really well in Colorado is we have some very strong, supportive community groups. And a classic example is in the Little Book Cliffs area down near Grand Junction, where the Friends of the Mustangs have been a true partner with the BLM in managing that horse herd.
Chris Joyner with the BLM field office in Grand Junction also credits the group with the success they've had in keeping the numbers down, saying that they've gone from 20% annual growth to below 8%. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
An accident on Highway 133 between Paonia and Hotchkiss over the weekend has killed a Glenwood Springs resident. According to the Colorado State Highway Patrol report, 33-year-old Terry Boyden was driving his Ford F-250 when he drove off the highway, rolling the truck several times. Boyden, who was apparently not wearing a seatbelt, was thrown from the truck and killed. Excessive speed and alcohol are suspected. His passenger, a 9-year-old girl, did have her seatbelt on and crawled from the wrecked truck to safety. She is being treated for serious injuries. Governor Hickenlooper was in Nashville, Tennessee over the weekend attending the National Governors Association's annual meeting. NPR's Brian Naylor was there and reports that one of the biggest issues there was the Highway Trust, which is set to run out of money this summer. There's currently a push in D.C. to give temporary funding for highway maintenance until early next year.
Democratic Governor John Hickenlooper of Colorado says there are still long-term issues that need addressing, such as finding a better source of money than the gas tax, which hasn't been raised in 2 decades and hasn't kept up with inflation.
As more fuel-efficient vehicles roll off the assembly lines, the amount of gasoline sold is going to go down. It's a good thing, cleaner air, but most of our construction resources come from that tax. As that goes down, these problems are going to be exacerbated.
The White House says that 17% of Colorado's roads are in poor condition. There's a movement to expand gambling in Colorado, but interestingly enough, casinos are against it. Jake Ryan has the details.
A petition with over 136,000 signatures was just turned into the Colorado Secretary of State. The issue? They want horse racing tracks to be able to offer casino-style gambling in addition to the normal track betting. The petition has almost double the required minimum number of signatures, and the measure will be on the statewide ballot in November. If the measure passes, racetracks will be able to offer up to 2,500 slot machines, poker, blackjack, roulette, and more. Right now, it would only benefit the Arapahoe State Park in Aurora, although the measure does allow for racetracks with the full gambling suite in Pueblo and Mesa counties. Betty Brooks is the spokesperson for Arapahoe Park.
Currently, it is strictly a paramutual horse track, and this would expand it and allow for a casino with up to 2,500 machines at the casino.
Brooks says that with a 34% tax, they estimate that it will bring in $100 million to Colorado schools. Not everyone is thrilled, though.
Of course, there's been resistance from the mountain towns and the casinos there. They have pretty much had a monopoly, so they're upset that they feel like that this could in some way diminish their draw. But we don't see that as happening. We think that this is a different location, and therefore that the interest would be primarily from a different group.
Voters will decide on the issue this November. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Yesterday marked the beginning of a regional bus line that connects Durango to Grand Junction. It's run by Southern Ute Community Action Programs, SUCAP. This year, this is Peter Tregillis, the program developer for SUCAP.
Roadrunner stage lines will operate daily service starting in Durango, and the other towns along the route are from south to north, Mancos, Cortez, Dolores, Rico, Telluride, Placerville, Ridgeway, Montrose, Delta, and Grand Junction. The purpose of this is to make sure that people in the rural areas have ground transportation connection alternatives besides airfare and driving your own car. That means that you can hook up to the rest of the national Greyhound system. You can get to Denver, you can get to Las Vegas and Los Angeles, or any other place across the country.
Other plans to bring public transportation between the Western Slope cities are in the works. Stay tuned for Jeff and the Wednesday Morning Music Mix coming up on KVNF. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.